So on the call we have Keith Davidson, Christy Spain, Stephen Deerhait, Paul Nirenda, Nigel Roberts, Yap Ackerhuis, Bart Boswinkel, Kim Davies, Christina Nordstrom, and Bernie Turcott. And apologies from Martin Boyle, Dottie Sparks LeBlanc, Patricia Poblete, Carlos Aguirre, and from Bill Semick, who will be 20 to 30 minutes late. That's it.
Okay, so
see if we can finish before Bill gets on the call, shall we?
interesting to note that Bill might also be on the call later, and if we could also record an apology from Becky to say that she'll be late. Okay, any further apologies? Anyone else on the call whose name wasn't called? Not, can we move on and have a look at the agenda? Is there anything, or just looking through the agenda, the main topic tonight is revocation. I think I've listed two items under agenda item 5, other outstanding items, and both of those are really awaiting Martin to be on a call, since they're both Martin issues. I think the intention he gave was that he'd be on the next call of the group, so there's nothing that's desperately urgent, it's GAC related, so I think we can just leave those items aside. So any other comments regarding the agenda? If not, it'll proceed as it stands. We have the meeting report from 26th July in front of us. Bernie, is there anything we need to specifically be concerned about or that isn't otherwise covered on from that 26th July meeting?
I don't believe so. I think it's a fairly straightforward look at what we went through section by section and what was approved and what was not. So I have no further comments.
Thank you. Any comments from anyone else regarding that meeting report? If not, can we move on to the substantive item on the agenda, the revocation document in item 4, and there's been quite a bit of work between meetings. I think particularly Becky and Bernie working away on text as a result of the discussions at the last meeting. So, Bernie, do you want to talk us through those changes or the changes that have gone into comprising version 3 of the revocation document? Thanks, Bernie.
Thank you, sir. As usual, the file's named 3.1, and we've got version 3 in the header of the document itself. Sorry. But for those that are used to the group, they know that I make that mistake quite often. Basically, have not. Version 3 is a clean start with everything that was accepted in 2.1, and the things that were not were kept as such. And so, really, there is nothing new until Section 5. Where Becky has done a fair amount of homework and proposed a lot of things in the areas where we were still having issues. So unless there are other comments, I think we should start with Section 5. I'm not sure if that's a comment. I'll say... So, not hearing anything, I think, oops, I got a new one. I'm going to pull up my copy of the...
No, it's an old one.
Pardon me?
It's just Nigel again.
Oh.
Return.
Hey, Nigel. I'm just going to pull up my copy of the file so I can actually read the comments. All right. Section 5.1, some minor edits. There is no has been removed, and basically, so it reads now, RFC 1591 does not provide a policy basis, so I don't think that's significant. 5.1.1, we've removed unconsented and replaced it with undertaken without the consent of the incumbent manager, which is a great suggestion from Becky. So, two minor editorial changes, one in 5.1 and one in 5.1.1. Are there any issues with that? Okay, I wasn't expecting any, so great. We'll move on to 5.2. Five, two, one, one, under applicability to CCTLDs, there's been a fair amount of work here. As you can see, a lot of text has been struck, and what we did here is basically work, or this was my understanding. Becky Burr and BT were to finish this, but when we closed off meeting in Prague, I thought I got there seemed to be an understanding in the room to just keep it simple, although we had all this explanation and discussion, but that the group felt that really what we should be saying is the working group members believe that Section 3.4 of RFC 1591 is to be read in such a way to imply that RFC 1591A imports ongoing obligation to the designated manager to operate the CCTLD without substantial misbehavior, and B, and creates a reserve power for the IANA contractor to set in if such substantial misbehavior were to occur. So basically, we've removed all the long discussion and explanations as to why we lead to this. I believe it was my understanding that it was the will of the group to just basically take it down to this. And I'd like a confirmation as to if this is correct.
I think that was my understanding as well, Benny, but does anyone have any comments? Is everyone happy with the 1.1.1.1 as it stands? Okay, let's assume it's doing its job then, Benny.
All right, excellent.
I guess there's one question that might arise from that, and that's I guess aimed at Kim and implementation. You know, how much detail would you require, Kim, under your new contractual obligations with NTIA about stepping in and what that might mean? Do we need another document that's much more explanatory about such interpretations of policy?
That's a good question. I think the contract doesn't specify a very specific way in which we need to do this, but if there was sufficient vagueness in the guidance that we have that we didn't feel as staff, we could make a determination. The guidance is that we refer it for policy making back to the CCNSO or whoever is appropriate. So, it's hard to say. I'd have to think about it.
Okay. As it turns out, I've been talking to USG a little bit, and Vernita has offered to come to ICANN Toronto to give the CCNSO an update on the IANA contract renewal, and so it might be a good opportunity. I've suggested to the program committee that we take Vanita up on that offer, and that perhaps we try and put that discussion point on the agenda around the same time as the IANA report. So it may well be a topic that we can jointly raise at that point, Kim.
Sure. I mean, we've obviously had discussions in NTIA as well, and I think informally the sense is that more work will be referred to the CCNSO under the new contract than under the existing contract. So on a very high level, seeking clarification on how to implement certain things that are not clear is probably likely to increase moving forward.
Yeah, I would hope so. I'll continue. And sorry to others on the call, it's slightly off topic, but I think it's not entirely unrelated. But I'm seeking to encourage the CCNSO that we should have the IANA report, the report from Vanita on the IANA contract, and the FOI working group more or less contiguously on the agenda for Toronto, as I think there's a spillover between all three subjects at this stage. So I'll continue working on that on my own accord. Thanks for that slight diversion to Kim and Bernie. Back to the topic at hand. Thanks.
Thank you. All right. 522, we've been struggling with, and I'm trying a new approach after rereading the entire document for where we're going and what we're doing in the other sections. I felt that this new approach is about just trying to define if IANA stepping in under 3.4 includes the possibility of revocation. So basically, I've changed the question: does IANA stepping in include the possibility of revocation? And the argumentation that is made is that the only formal mechanism for IANA dealing with delegated CCTLDs is transfer, which needs to be consensual, as we have defined earlier. And if there is significant misbehavior, because this is what we're trying to address, it's probably not reasonable to assume that there will be consensual agreement to a transfer. And if that's the case, then really the only formal mechanism left to IANA is revocation. So the argumentation goes along the lines that if we don't include the possibility of revocation as stepping in, not that we're saying it's the only thing IANA does, and we go through all the detailed description of the other things IANA does before it gets there and what we think it needs to do if it actually contemplates revocation. But the point is, I'm trying to focus this as saying, okay, significant misbehavior, is revocation on the table? I'm proposing that. So I'll take comments at this point.
Nigel has his hand raised. So, Nigel.
Am I on mute?
No.
Or not.
Good. Thank you. Two things. First of all, I'm not sure what bit of the document you're referring to, because my screen still shows 1.1.1 in front of me. Secondly, thanks. Now I can see what's going on. Secondly, you kept referring to significant misbehavior. I thought RFC 5091 referred to substantial misbehavior.
Sorry, sometimes I get confused when I'm trying to write these things too quickly, but yes, you're correct.
Okay, I mean, that's no problem, but I mean, there's a substantial difference, and we should use the term that's used in the policy document.
Yes, as opposed to the significant one. I agree.
Yeah, and the document.
Thank you. That's highly significant.
Yep. And you had another point, Nigel. You've gone on to mute. Nigel, we're not hearing you. I don't know what's happened.
Those were the two points.
Okay, I'm looking at the document we're actually sharing. I had been working off my local copy here, and obviously the number got screwed up, 4521, which actually shows up as 111 again in 111, but seems to fix itself a little later. So, but the content is essentially what we have been talking about. So any other comments? And thank you for that, Nigel.
No other comments by the look of it. But please continue, Jimmy.
Okay. Going back to my copy. So the numbering is just a little bit off. So closing off the official 522, which is a little messed up in the document, FOI working group also believes it is consistent with the purpose of RFP. Hey, that sounds like fun. Believes it is consistent with the purpose of RFC 1591 to interpret revocation as the last resort option. Given we've changed the text in 522 to say revocation is on the table, I wanted to make clear we had generally agreed elsewhere in the text that revocation should be a last resort option, so I'm just stating that again. And then 5223, which I will give you the official version, which is 5213 on the one that's being shared. The change there is not significant, but the FOI working group believes it is also consistent with the purpose of RFC 1591 to interpret IANA stepping in as the IANA contractor, continuing with the traditions of one, ensuring security and stability of the Internet and the CCTLD, and two, deploying all means at its disposal to assist in resolving issues with the incumbent manager. So that closes off that section, which has been a little difficult for a little while for us. And I've noted Nigel's change, and I see Nigel still has his hand up, so maybe we can hear if there's something else from Nigel.
There is. It's very pedantic, but I would prefer to see the definite article in 5212 and not the indefinite one, or is it the other way around? There's only one last resort, so it must be the last resort option.
Fine, I'll note it. As usual, Nigel, you know, I'm not difficult on those things, and I defer to people who have better language skills, so fine.
I'm also, this is the first time I've managed to see the latest version of 5213. I think it's a little clumsy, but I'm not going to try and rewrite it on the fly tonight. Again, the formatting of where the 1 and the 2 is makes it look a bit weird. With your permission, I'll play with it for about 10 seconds and email you something.
Absolutely. As usual, suggestions are welcome, guys. You know that.
That's it.
All right. Anybody else?
Doesn't appear to be. Thanks, Ben.
Okay, moving on. The next major change I have is in the official document 5233, and let's find it, what you've got on your screen under analysis of requirements. Okay, so on the shared documents 5223, so we're off by one in my documents 5233. So that there has been significant surgery proposed by Becky on this, and I'll line this up on the screen and we'll go through it. And the changes are not showing up nicely on this version, so I'll go through them here. A minor wording, the manager must be able to carry out the necessary responsibilities and have the ability to do an equitable, just, honest, and competent job. I don't see that as being significant for anyone. Now, on the official version, Nigel? If you're speaking, we're not hearing you.
Nigel, you're still muted. Oh, there you go.
Hello.
Yes, we're hearing you now.
Yeah, I was expecting you to come to me after you'd finished saying what you were saying. You're very quick.
Okay. So on the one under that, we've got significant surgery, and it now reads, on balance, the working group believes that RFC 1591 should be read to impose on those managers designated after its issuance an ongoing responsibility to carry out the necessary responsibilities and do an equitable, just, honest, and competent job. So I've got this as 523311 in the official document, but I believe that's 522311 on the screen. Any comments? That's new wording.
Okay.
I heard a noise. Pardon me?
You said Becky. Is Becky here?
No, I said it's new wording from Becky to address...
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. My apologies.
Oh, Becky has not joined, I don't think. So, any comments on that?
Yes.
Okay.
I think there's a certain element of clumsiness in it, and I know where we're going here and probably whence it originated. I'm a bit uncomfortable that this scratches the surface, or rather perhaps skates over the thin ice of interpreting, should we say, the legal situation or something with regards to differences between those who were designated after RFC 1591 was issued and those before. I would suggest that although we keep much the same words, it would read, and this is only an example, not a proposal, something along the lines that RFC 1591 requires an ongoing responsibility, and in a footnote refer to the situation of whether, and say, which may or may not be applicable to managers, et cetera, or just refer to the pre-RFC 1591 situation in a footnote. Because if you write it in the form RFC 1591 requires whatever, then it only requires it of those people to which it's applicable. So you still achieve the same effect without getting into a great big debate over whether, well, that TLD is an RFC 1591 compatible TLD and that one isn't.
I think I understand your point, Nigel. And what I'm going to say is sometimes Becky has some really good reasons for writing these things. So let's take that offline with Becky and hammer out the exact form, because I don't think it changes the intent of what we're trying to do.
I think the original wording was...
not intended to change the intent.
Yes, I understand that.
Yeah, I think the original wording was rather sort of firmly positioning RSC 1591 as you suggest, and I think it was other issues that arose because of that that led to the softening of language too. So, but anyway, let's take the action point that Nigel, Bernie and Becky will have a look at that particular clause in a bit more detail.
Oh, everyone okay with that?
Looks like it, so please proceed.
Okay, the next point, 5222.312 on the screen document, meeting the competency requirement, which has had major surgery. Now reads, again from Becky, meeting the competency requirement. The working group interprets RFC 1591 to require the IANA contractor to ensure, when designating a registry manager, new or replacement, that two criteria are met. A, prospective registry manager designated under RFC 1591 must have the following qualities. The proposed manager must demonstrate that he or she, or if a legal person it, possesses the requisite skills to carry out the duties of a manager, and those two last sections were not touched. And this next one has had a bit of surgery. If designated, will be in a position, i.e. will have the means necessary, close quote, to carry out those duties, including the ongoing responsibilities discussed above, upon receiving the appointment. So, basically, the header text has been changed because there's been a bunch of stuff. The appears to be two limb stuff has all been removed. And we've got the working group interprets RFC 1591 to require the IANA contractor to ensure, when designating a registry manager, new or replacement, that have two criteria. And we've just been talking about the first one. Any comments here? Nigel, I see your hand up.
Yeah, this is kind of almost a point of order in a way. You were reading, and it didn't correspond to what was in front of me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And going back to the previous one, I noticed there was kind of text, like a sentence starting without a full stop, and it didn't seem to run on together. So I'm wondering if there's an issue with what's posted on the screen.
Oh, my. Okay. Let me see if I can pull in my version, we will make this go away. So please... give this intermission for a second while I go hunting through my files. I didn't produce a PDF of that, and that may be the problem in the translation somewhere. So let's produce a PDF. I can link to that. Share a document. Browse my computer. converting as we speak. Let's see what happens. Okay, so hopefully you've got revocation 3.0, which should be 3.1, in front of you. And let's take it down to, yes, our numbering is fixed, and we've got the same file here. So let's go back down to where Nigel pointed out our problem, analysis of requirements, and here we are. So hopefully everyone's seeing the same thing now with the text, and we're all literally on the same page. So basically, we went through 523311, the ongoing responsibility to carry out the necessary responsibilities and do an equitable, just, honest job. And we have just been talking about 523312 with the changes that we were proposed. So basically, I don't think there's anything significant in the way we've adjusted 523312, just makes it clearer. 523321 has not been changed. 523121 has not been changed. The one following that, 523312, duties including the ongoing responsibilities discussed above, has been added. So hopefully everyone's seeing the same thing now. Apologies for that. And are we okay with this, or do we have comments?
Nigel was still making comment, I think. So, Nigel, if
now that you're actually
now I can read the document. The blue text, which is, says, including the ongoing responsibilities discussed above, should be in parentheses and not have a capital letter at the beginning, perhaps.
Okay, will do. Anything else? That sounds pretty good. Let's move on. I see no hands raised. Okay, our next change is 523313, necessary responsibilities. As described more fully below, the necessary responsibilities enumerated in RFC 1591 include, so all this is new text from Becky, 523331, serving as the designated manager, 2, operating or supervising the operation of the CCTLD, 3, ensuring that the name servers are on the internet, 4, providing email connectivity to the designated manager and its staff, 5, maintaining an administrative and technical contact. So, we've got a new version of 523313 up on the screen proposed by Becky, and I'll take comments and questions at this point.
Nigel was indicating a tick of happiness with it, and I notice Eberhard has joined, if we could note that for the record, and has his hand raised. Eberhard.
Hi, Eberhard.
Hi, I just wanted to apologize for logging in late.
Thanks, Eberhard, and noting Bill Semich has also joined the call, and he did indicate that he would be late, so welcome, Bill, too.
Hi, Bill.
Hello.
So we're dealing with 5.2.3.3.1.3 in its entirety, and Nigel has indicated a tick of happiness with that proposed text. Any further discussion required? If not, please continue, Bernie.
Thank you, sir. Scrolling down. Okay. Our next area is 523314. We hadn't figured out what to do with to do an equitable, just, honest, and competent job. Becky has proposed adding the necessary responsibilities must be undertaken in an equitable, fair, honest, and competent. Okay.
Manner.
Yeah, manner. Sorry. So, minor edit there. So, thank you, Bill. So, the added text is, the necessary responsibilities must be undertaken in an equitable, fair, honest, and competent manner. The typo, thanks to Bill. Any thoughts, comments? 52, 33, 14. Okay, I'm going to take it that this sounds good with the typo correction. Moving on to 52, 33, 2. Operate the domain name server system in that country. Again, there's been some major surgery here. It now reads is, should be interpreted as, operates the ccTLD associated with the country or territory. Full stop. So that was 52, 33, 21. Thoughts, questions?
Works for me.
I thought that would work for everyone. And I guess so did Becky, which is why she wrote it. Okay, moving on. Our next...
just a moment, Bernie. Eberhardt has his hand raised. So, Eberhardt.
Returning to that text. Yes, Eberhardt.
Can we make the document scrollable, please?
Christina? Christina, if you're talking, we're not hearing you.
Sorry, I wasn't talking. I just did it, and then I wrote down in the chat. Sorry,
no.
It's done.
I saw the chat. We're done, Eberhardt. Do you have a comment on 52, 33, 2? If you're talking, Eberhardt, we're not hearing you.
No, let's assume not then, Benny. Please.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yes,
can hear you.
You know, I can read it, I can scroll it, thank you.
Okay. Moving on, the next change is 52, 33, 4. There must be an administrative contact and a technical contact for each domain. For top-level domains that are country codes, the new text is, that are subject to RFC 1591, at least the administrative contact must reside in the country involved. Questions, comments, thoughts, 52, 33, 4. Going one.
Looks to me like everybody. Oh no,
For top level domains that are country codes that are subject. These two Zs are a little bit misunderstandable.
That could be replaced by and subject.
You mean that there are...
We'll fix that, Eberhardt. Good catch.
Okay. Okay. Works for me.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think, Bernie, yes, the second that being an and is perfect.
Yeah. I was trying to... Becky worked hard and fast, and I was trying to stick to her words as best as possible, so there were some edits. That obviously need to be done. That's one of them. All right, so I'll assume 52, 33, 4 with that grammatical correction is okay. Moving on, which takes us to 52, 33, 61, and that is under the section 52, 33, 6, which is the designated manager must be equitable to all groups in the domain that requests domain names. The subsection to this, 52, 33, 61, now reads, with some minor adjustments, it would seem reasonable to interpret this requirement in the current context, comma, as obligating the manager should be to publish its registration policies on the Internet for anyone to consult. Bracket, minimally in all the official languages of the country or territory, close brackets. and apply these policies in an impartial manner, and this is the big new text, treating similarly situated would-be registrants in the same manner. Well, this is what Becky is suggesting for 523361, and I see L. Eberhardt has his hand up. Eberhardt, you're up.
You must remove the all from the all the official languages. Otherwise, South Africa would have to publish it in 11 languages.
You know, Sweden would have to publish it in Yiddish and Sami.
Okay, so the suggestion is minimally in the official languages?
How about language or languages?
Language or languages, okay. This is the original text. It's been there for a while, so we've never had that. I am not seeing a problem with accepting that suggestion. Anybody else?
Nigel's indicating some dissatisfaction. I don't know.
Who is not happy, Keith?
Nigel appears to be indicating...
No, I'm just trying to come off mute. Am I here?
Yes, you're here.
Yeah, I agree with... Again, I agree with the intent of this. I'm unhappy with what we're doing here, which is to effectively provide operational procedures... When we, this isn't interpretation of the existing policy. It is to some extent, but it's going a little bit further than mere interpretation here. I would want to be looking at giving guidance as how, in other words, you say what, not how. So you don't say that you would interpret it to include official languages. That's prescriptive. You would say so that everybody in the country or territory concerned would be able to access the policies.
Or understand.
Do you see the point I'm going on about here? It's talk about the purpose rather than how it's to be achieved. It's not our job to say how it's to be achieved.
Yes, and I'll step in for Martin, and he'd probably be supporting you at this point, I think. So... Okay, interesting. We'll see what we can do with that. Thank you, Nigel. Anybody else?
I thought I heard Bill make a comment in the background, but didn't quite catch the comment or who it was.
Well, I think the condition here is that it be understandable to, you know, in the local community, that's all.
Yeah, I had caught that. Thank you, Bill. Okay. I'll see what I can generate from those comments, and as usual, we'll have it for the next meeting.
Thanks.
Okay, I'm not seeing anything else for 523361. Thanks, that was great input. Let's move on. Right below that, we are now in 5.2.4, defining substantial misbehavior. There have been some edits to 5241, which is not significant, I think. Substantial misbehavior, the working group interprets this phrase to refer to significant incompetence or unwillingness by the incumbent manager to correct important issues with respect to the requirements of RSA 1591 for managers of CCTLDs. I see a big red X from Nigel, so I'm not sure whether that's just him saying, no, I don't like it, or if he's disappeared. Nigel?
No, it's me saying, no, I don't like it.
Ah, okay. Again...
I think it's wrong.
Okay. Well, I mean, as I said, most of these changes in this part of the document are what's been suggested by Becky, and unfortunately, she's not here. So maybe you can tell us why you don't like it, and in that way we can move forward with this after I get a hold of Becky.
Sure. I mean, we don't have to fix it right now, but substantial misbehavior does not mean that. It might include that, but it doesn't mean it. So substantial misbehavior, I thought we had good text on this some time back, refers to misbehavior that is more than merely... misbehavior.
No, actually, what you're seeing there is the text we agreed to, and the blue stuff was just a few words added by Becky. But basically, the last two passes, we were sort of okay with this text. It hasn't changed for three meetings, I think.
Yeah, there's been a couple of meetings I've missed or not been able to go through. But I'm looking at what's in front of me in 5241 only. And
yes,
the definition you've put, 5.2.4.1.
Yes.
And the definition that's given in 5.4.2.1 in my book cannot be a definition of substantial misbehavior, whether in the context of RFC 1591 or otherwise. Substantial misbehavior in the context of RFC 1591 may include that, but a significant incompetence isn't substantial misbehavior. It's incompetence.
Okay, so I think what I'm going to suggest at this point is that we note Nigel doesn't like it and move on to Eberhardt and see what his comments are. Is that okay, Nigel?
Yep.
Okay, great. Eberhardt, you're up. Talking, we're not
I'm not really sure Nigel doesn't like it. I tend to think that substantial misbehavior includes significant incompetence and willingness, but there may be more. So maybe we must find something that we don't make these two exclusive of anything else. That's probably what he means, and I think that's a good idea.
Yes, that's the way I'm taking it.
It also means substantial incompetence that is not fixed or is unwilling to be corrected. So in other words, or a willful refusal to fix substantial issues caused by substantial incompetence. That's all part of substantial misbehavior, but it's not a definition of it.
Okay. Well, I'm sure we can have a great discussion around that kind of argumentation with Becky. So I'm still proposing, noted, fine. I don't think we're going to rewrite this on the fly at this point. Let's carry on if it's okay with everyone.
Good way forward.
Okay. Anybody else on 5241? Okay. 5242 has undergone, basically been rewritten. So let's give it a shot. The working group suggests that the CCNSO could help to inform the definition of substantial misbehavior by documenting, in consultation with the GAC and other stakeholders, current standards and generally accepted practices for CCTLD operations. So just as a point of background, we will remember that we were talking about accepted standards and things, and several people had issues with that and how that would be interpreted or would be left open if there was nothing else. So I think Becky was trying to address that, and her approach is saying, if there's nothing out there, then let's task the CCNSO with doing it. So I think the general thrust here is CCNSO work on this. We've got a big red X from Nigel, and I'll put it over to Nigel at this point.
Thank you. This is a less, it's not such a big red X, but it is, having reread it three times, first of all with an ordinary person's head on, and then after several passes with a slightly more strict construction hat on. I don't like the use of a definition in here.
I think you look great.
Having reread it three times, I see what Becky means, and I agree with what she means. But I think we could rephrase this, because this is not really the anything to do with the definition. It's to do with, once you've got the definition, what you do with the definition. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
So it would, I would like to see the phrase "inform the definition" put in slightly more plain English, without using the word definition.
Okay. Noted. Eberhard.
Firstly, there is a typing error. Accepted is spelled wrongly. And secondly, the GAC has no input to make on the operation of a CCTLD. Whether they can give advice or not, I don't care. They are not stakeholders. So to put them in a sentence with consultation with the GAC and other stakeholders is not acceptable to me. I'm not saying we shouldn't consult them, but we must phrase it in a way that is much less strict. There is no such thing as current standards or generally accepted practice. For the words I wouldn't be able to accept. We must find different wording here.
Okay.
So I agree with the idea. I agree with the idea that what's behind the paragraph.
Well, then we've moved forward. I think I like the idea that people like the concept of what we're trying to do here. And so we'll build on that and see if we can address the issues. Nigel, you still have your X, so I'm taking it that you still want to talk?
No, that's
wrong.
I don't want to
talk. Now you've just got your hand up. Okay. So I'll take it that 524 and its subsections need major work. We've noted all the things with the scribes, and we will be working on them.
Yeah, I think, Bernie, it would probably be fair to not do too much work in the next two-week period, but wait for Becky to be on the call and have a reasonably useful debate with Becky and Nigel and Eberhard at the time. See if we can work back to Becky's reasoning behind this wording. So I think if everyone's happy, let's please do that.
Okay.
Not seeing any objections. So, yeah, I don't... It could be quite difficult to reinvent a reinvented wheel, if you know what I mean. So let's try and understand where Becky was basing this from.
I think what I'll try to do is properly document the concerns that were raised on this call and go see if I can do a go-through with Becky before the next call so that we can maximize our input. And if there are some points which she has wording for, then maybe we'll have some stuff. But yes, okay. Thank you, Eberhard.
Yeah, I just raised one so that there is an official objection.
Pardon me?
I just raised my hand so Keith can notice an official objection.
Official okay. Objection to?
No, Keith said he doesn't see any objection, but the point is he's right in a way that we should wait for Becky to do this and to think about it. But the wording as is not acceptable.
Okay, understood. Thank you, Eberhard. Oh.
Absolutely, taken as read that it's not acceptable, and I can see exactly why. So it needs modification, but let's understand the reasons for modification while we do that. Nigel has his hand raised now, so Nigel.
Just as a practical matter, if you'd like to copy me on what you've captured as being the takeaways from this meeting, that will prompt me to make a suggestion of how to fix them.
Okay,
well, probably what I'll do then is I'll send you an early draft of the meeting notes because that I just captured them once so that it makes sense for everyone.
Yeah, no, that's fine. It's just these two or three specific points that we've dealt with that I've put up these red flags for, then it'll just prompt me. It'll take me a few minutes to respond, but it's late at night and I can't really do it on the fly tonight.
Okay.
And just for the record, noting Hugo joined the call about 10 or 15 minutes ago. Please continue, Bernie.
Thank you. All right, moving on off of 524, on to 525. Here's the cursor. process for revocation. There's been some updates by Becky on 5251. So we'll just read through it as we usually do. The FOI Working Group also believes it is consistent with the intent of RFC 1591, to state that revocation should be a last resort option for the, and taking to heart the comment from Nigel earlier, the last resort option for the IANA contractor. The IANA contractor should use all means at its disposal to assist the manager to resolve any important issues with respect to the designated managers meeting the applicable requirements of RFC 1591. Full stop. Revocation should only be considered if the IANA contractor reasonably demonstrates that the manager is significantly incompetent or unwilling to resolve material clearly identified and documented failures to fulfill the necessary responsibilities in an equitable, just, honest, and or competent manner in an appropriate time frame. That's a mouthful. If the delegation is revoked, the IANA contractor should use all means at its disposal to ensure the CCTLD will continue to resolve names and that a suitable replacement is identified by significantly interested parties consistent with the applicable laws and local procedures as described elsewhere on an expedited basis. Full stop. So here we go. Basically, Becky sort of framing this a little bit tighter than what was there. I don't think there's any intent to change what we were trying to state, which was generally okay and acceptable, but just trying to tighten it up. And I see we've got Kim, so let's take our next caller. Kim, you're online.
Thanks. I just wonder if this this second half of this sentence calls on IANA to get involved in the country in the process by which the suitable replacement is found. And I'm just a little concerned that that's a historical role, that there's been a pretty bright line between IANA's not involved in the local process. But if it needs to use... it needs to be involved in getting the significantly interested parties to identify a suitable replacement. It might be considered sort of crossing that line. Obviously, there's a problem here to be solved in that there's, for at that moment, not a CCTLD operator because the previous operator has been revoked. But it's something where I would feel a lot more comfortable if there was some precision in terms of what exactly is expected of IANA and what's not expected of IANA in that position, because it could easily be interpreted that IANA is overstepping its bounds by getting involved in a local issue.
Thanks, Kim. I think that's a very useful comment, and I certainly understand the basis for it. So, all right, we'll note that.
I have a comment, and I'm not able to raise my hand.
Ah, okay. Well, my next one is Nigel, and then I'll take you, Bill, if that's okay?
That's fine, thank you.
Okay, Nigel.
Okay, I'm concerned at the conflation of the words substantial and significant again. We're in 5.2.5.1, we have the phrase significantly incompetent. Supposing I was to suggest to you that instead of using the term significantly interested parties throughout our document and throughout the document itself on significantly interested parties, we replace the word significant with substantial, so that then referred to substantially interested parties, it would completely change the meaning of what we were doing. So significantly incompetent is incompetent that you simply notice. Substantially incompetent is something that you, it's more than just that you notice, it's having a real bad effect. So I think we need to be very, very careful throughout our work that we don't accidentally drop in the word significant, which significantly, pardon the phrase, lowers the bar rather than substantial.
Okay, Nigel, my comment on that is, you know, we've got significantly interested parties in RFC 1591. I'm not sure we've got...
Bernie, stop. That, I was not suggesting that. I was using it by way of an illustration as to the fact there is a not only significant but substantial difference between the word significant and substantial in their effect.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Nigel?
So can we substitute substantial for significant here?
Well, I think as Keith has suggested, given these are Becky's words, we'll run through it and we can have the discussion with her.
Fine.
Sure. Noted, and it'll be documented, and it'll be part of that process when I produce the notes for this meeting.
What was that on the input for that? That's great.
Okay. I see Eberhard has his hand up, but I promised I would let Bill in. And so, Bill, over to you.
Yeah, again, I like that word conflation, Nigel. I might use it here in the sentence that says revocation should only be considered if the IANA contractor reasonably demonstrates that the manager is significantly incompetent or unwilling to resolve material clearly identified and documented failures to fulfill the necessary responsibilities in an equitable, just, honest, or competent manner in an appropriate time frame. There's an awful lot of ideas being sandwiched together here, which are confusing to say the least and perhaps incorrect. Does this mean that no revocation would happen if they document failures to fulfill the necessary responsibilities in an unequitable, unjust, and dishonest, and incompetent manner? Or what? You see what I'm saying? There are too many things joined together with commas and ors.
Yes, I understand your point. I'm not arguing it, and I cannot defend it for Becky at this point. I'll give you the same answer I gave to Nigel. We'll note it. We'll document the concerns, and we'll take it up with Becky. Is that okay, Bill?
Oh, sure. I'm sure, you know, Becky will make it work. I'm sure she will.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
And confident phrase is just sort of stuck in with a bunch of other things, and I think it should stand alone.
Okay, great. Eberhard, you're up.
Identifies by is supposed to mean identified by. It's a typing error.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else, Eberhard?
No.
Thank you.
And Ugo also has his hand raised, so Ugo.
Ugo, if you're speaking, we can't hear you. And we still can't hear you. So shall we take Nigel, Mr. Chair?
Yes, please.
Nigel.
I can actually defend Becky's language, and just to say to Bill that it seems to raise a lot of hurdles that you have to jump through before revocation can be used. I'll take it offline with Bill quite happily. It could perhaps be made slightly clearer in plain language, but I think that language works.
Okay, and I'm sure we'll all have a great discussion about it with Becky. I also think the general concept is probably okay, but even I think we could take another edit at it to make this maybe clearer in some points, and we've gotten some great points made. All right, so that was 5-2-5-1. We've beaten this one to death, I think. Anybody else? Okay. I don't see anyone, so I'm going to take it as the points have been made and we're moving on. 5252 is as is. 5253 has undergone surgery. We've replaced the IANA contractor should develop and post the. That has been removed and been replaced with the working group suggests that the CCNSO undertake in consultation with the GAC and other interested stakeholders to identify for further discussion possible procedures to be followed in connection with any proposed revocation of the delegation of the CCTLD based on the work of the FOI working group. These procedures should be reviewed and approved by the CCNSO, and it will be responsible for monitoring these. So essentially, what we've got here is Becky using that device that was introduced a little earlier of saying if we're going to have revocation, we're going to need procedures, and if we're going to have procedures, then the CCNSO should be leading the charge on that. Questions and comments? Nigel, you're up. If you're speaking, we're not hearing you, Nigel.
He's removed his hand up and reverted to a tick indicating he's accepting what's in front of us.
Okay, I didn't see that. Okay, anybody else on 5253? Going once, going twice. Okay, let's move on. We're getting there, folks. Moving on to Section 5.3, which is about Section 3.5 of RFC 1591, revocation for persistent problems with the proper operation of the domain, CCTLD. Our first change comes in Section 5.3.2.2, where we've had some text added by Becky. The original text reads, the IANA contract has not published its expectations as far as what constitutes a manager doing a satisfactory job of operating the DNS service for the domain, or what should be considered to be persistent problems with the proper operation of the domain. Becky suggests that we add, the working group suggests that the CCNSO could inform this discussion by documenting in consultation with the GAC and other stakeholders current standards and generally accepted practices, for CCTLD operations, the failure to comply with which would constitute problems with the proper operation of a CCTLD. Okay, 5322, and this time we've got Eberhard up first. Eberhard.
I don't really understand the English. Could inform this discussion. I don't know this word. And then again, we don't have standards, we don't have best practices, and so on, so we must find a different vocabulary that is uncontroversial.
Noted. Anybody else?
Yeah, it's Bill.
Yes, Bill.
Well, I raised the same issue that I think Eberhard did recently. I'm really not sure what the GAC can bring to the table in terms of current operating standards for CCTLD.
Yeah, I think we'll take that as a general comment whenever we're referring to this device of getting the CCNSO to do some homework on this. But yes, noted, Bill. Is there anything else, Bill?
Well, you know, I don't object to having the GAC give us advice and bring, you know, good information to the table. It's just that if we institutionalize this concept, it's a cause for worry.
Okay, noted. Next one up is Nigel.
Still here? Yeah, thank you. One second. I think I need to give a little bit of do what I sometimes do and reach back into the bag of historical perspective here. This phrase that you we have in 5.3. Where were we?
53.
Remind me the name of the paragraphs that we're doing, just to make sure I'm going through the right one.
53.2.
Okay. The proper operation of a domain has a specific meaning in the mind of the authors, and we are giving it a different meaning. Persistent problems with the proper operation of a domain in the mind of the authors, and you can actually consult with at least one of them if there's some doubt on this, meant the DNS not working. And don't forget, RFC 5091 was intended to apply to all domain names, not just top-level domains and not just country code top-level domains. It was intended to apply to all domains, including, for example, second-level or even third-level domains under .com. We are taking a much more liberal interpretation of what was written, and I'm not sure whether or not we are straying into policy making.
Fair enough. Thank you, Nigel. And I'm sure that'll be a great discussion with Becky. All right. Did that conclude your remarks, Nigel?
I can just add one thing. This is one of those things whereby you find a comment to say, for example, in a court case, this is a matter for the legislature to fix. That would be an early matter for a PDP to address. I don't think you can merely address it by saying the original words now mean something different, unless you take a very, very broad view of the word interpretation. So it's a very interesting point that I think Becky and I, and maybe anybody else who has an interest, ought to focus on.
Okay. Anybody else? I don't see any other hands up, and we'll move on to 5323. Again, some major surgery, persistent problems with the proper operation of a domain, and publish this. Sorry, I tried to follow through on this, but I guess all we're saying is we need to publish whatever the CCNSO will come up with, and we don't need to remake all the same arguments that we just had in a previous point. Nigel?
Sorry, I'm just still up.
Oh, okay, sorry. 5324, following appropriate consultation, this documentation could then be used as a reference point. And, okay, I think this is all in the same vein and all the same comments apply. So unless there's something different than what we've talked about in 5322, then I'll take it as general applicability of the comments. Are we okay? Okay. Now, let's move on. Definition of revocation 533, minor change in 5332, delegation of responsibility for the management of the CCTLD to the designated manager. I don't think that's going to ruffle too many feathers. Questions, thoughts, comments, suggestions, 5332. Okay, 5333, as such, one should define delegation as the IANA contract manager. This is the new wording, identifying or acknowledging the identification of a proposed manager as the designated manager for the CCTLD, the responsibility for management of the CCTLD to a manager, designated manager. 5333. Okay, so I'm not taking it as excessive, I'm taking it as we have to talk to Becky about this. Okay, moving on. 534, process to revoke a delegation. I think Becky's, again, tried to clear up some stuff similar to what we had with the significant misbehavior. The FOI working group also believes the intent of RFC 1591 is that revocation should be the last resort option for the IANA contractor. Yes, I've noted this. The IANA contractor should use all means at its disposal to assist the manager to resolve any persistent issues with respect to the designated manager's operation of the CCTLD, full stop. Revocation should only be considered if the IANA contractor reasonably demonstrates that the manager is unwilling to or incapable of resolving the clearly identified and documented failures to fulfill the necessary responsibilities in an equitable, just, honest, and or competent manner, issues in an appropriate time frame. All the same comments we had around this language, I think, apply here. I understand that. If the delegation is revoked, the IANA contractor should use all the means at its disposal to ensure the CCTLD will continue to resolve names and that a suitable replacement is identified. It's the same language. We've got the same issues. I'll just copy the same concerns given it's the same language. Are we okay, or are there new comments relative to what is essentially the same language from earlier on? Nigel.
Changed to a tick agreeing with the process outline.
Okay, thank you, sir. We're almost there, guys.
Stevens also indicated a tick of agreement in terms of that process. So thanks, guys.
Okay, Act 5343, major surgery here. The working group suggests that the CCNSO undertake in consultation with the GAC and other interested stakeholders to identify for further discussion possible procedures to be followed in connection with any proposed revocation of the delegation of the CCTLD based on the work of the FOI. Again, I think we'll just reiterate some of the same comments. I see Nigel's got his hand up. Nigel. Oh, it went away. And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. We're done the next pass. We've got some wins, we've got areas of concern, and we've, I think our focus, just to remind everyone, will be documenting the concern in the meeting notes as per my habitual standards. I'll be forwarding those early drafts to Nigel because he said he wanted to have a look at them, and we'll be trying to run through those with Becky before the next meeting, and we will be ensuring that Becky can participate in the next meeting so we can have a fulsome discussion on some of the points that were raised regarding revocation documents 3.1 today. That's it for me, Mr. Chair. Over to you.
Thank you, Vinny, and thank you all. I think we made bits of progress, and we have a number of checks and balances to go through when we have a fuller meeting of the group. But thank you. I think moving on, unless anyone has anything to add in terms of the revocation topic, if we can move on, as I said at the start of the call, we have two held-over items in item 5 on our agenda in responding to the GAC, and I think we need Martin on a call to progress those items, so I'm holding them over and leaving them. Eberhard, you have a comment?
Did you guys get the email that I sent about a week ago about this consent issue, this court case that happened here, which has some interesting language in it? It's good reading.
Yes, I've read it, and it's sort of partly, well, it's not irrelevant, but that was informed consent specifically. But thank you for sharing it, and it might be one of those things that could prove useful as time goes on. Eberhard.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to revisit consent based on this, but whenever I dig up some stuff that is interesting on this, I forward it to the list, and as you know, I'm involved with informed consent, but I was not involved with this case. I just found it quite interesting what the judge has to say about what informed consent means.
Okay, thanks for that. Okay, and then looking at any other business, we have our next scheduled meeting on the 22nd of August, which I think is at the unkind time for the Northern Hemisphere. So while the Northern Hemisphere may be returning from its summer break by then, it may not inspire a large participation due to the time of day, but let's run with it, and we'll talk to you all then. Are there any other issues of business that anyone wishes to raise before we close the call?
Keith, yeah, what do you mean by unkind time?
Isn't that the next time is 500 UTC, is that?
Well, that's 6 o'clock in the morning. People just must get up and have their breakfast early.
Oh, okay. That's not too unkind.
This is more antisocial for me than 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it's the North Americans and the Latin Americans that have a problem with this particular...
Oh, okay. So it's the 1300 UTC that is the most unkind to the Northern Hemisphere, or to the Africa's, America's, Europe, I guess.
1300 is lunchtime. That's perfectly fine as well.
Okay.
No, it's this next one, Keith. This next one is 1 a.m. for Washington, New York, Montreal.
Okay. Erhard has his hand raised.
Keith, the 22nd on my calendar is a Wednesday.
Oh, yes, it is not a Wednesday. It should read the 23rd. My apologies. Always a Thursday.
Because 23rd is a very long weekend for us, because the Monday is a public holiday, so I'm very particular about it.
Yep. Okay, but yes, no, definitely always a Thursday, so the 23rd. Is that noted in the diary?
I'll take that, Keith.
And it's even changed. Christina already changed it, I think.
Okay. So anything else from anyone? If not, let's declare the meeting closed, and thank you all for your participation, and we'll talk to you on the 23rd. 500 UTC.
Hi, everyone.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks for holding on, everybody. Bye from Bill.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. Bye.